You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some people give thanks only for good things, but God expects us to be thankful in all situations.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty God, from you all blessings come. By your Spirit, work in our hearts sincere gratitude. Bless all special festivals of thanksgiving, and enable us in all situations, good or bad, to give thanks for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. After seeing his home destroyed by a plane crash, a New Orleans man stated that it didn't bother him. He was thankful just to be alive. This humble confession is not the attitude generally expressed in our society. Usually, we give thanks only when good things happen or when we are blessed with abundant material possessions. The picture of the annual family Thanksgiving dinner, with mom and dad and the children gathered around the food-laden table, frequently reinforces the popular but unbiblical idea that people are to give thanks only in times of prosperity. In the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, we read, however, that we should always be giving thanks for all things. Every day and in all situations, our prayer should echo the words of Isaiah the prophet when he said, "I shall make mention of the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us." Even on days when things do not go well for you, when food on the table is not so abundant, meditate on Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. "In the days of prosperity, be happy." But the Bible continues, "In the days of adversity, consider that God has made one as well as the other." This does not mean that God is the author of evil or problems, but our Heavenly Father permits us many times to struggle in life in order to bless us. In the book of Hebrews we read, "For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." In these coming days, because you are away from home or are separated from loved ones, you may not be gathered around a meal with your family. Or because of ill health, you may be confined to a bed or wheelchair and unable to rejoice in a festive church service. Yet, as you realize that God has given you life and is the author of your salvation, may God's Spirit enable you to say with the Apostle Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." St. Paul did not rejoice because his stomach was always full or because his life was a bed of roses. The Apostle praised God in all things because he possessed the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, forgiveness through the sin-cleansing blood of the Savior. After enduring many difficulties, beatings, shipwrecks, false accusations, and imprisonments, St. Paul was by faith still able to say, "I consider everything as loss compared with the overwhelming gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." St. Paul continued by saying, "For now my place is in Him, in Jesus, and I am not dependent on any of the self-achieved righteousness of the law. God has given me that genuineness which comes by faith in Christ. How changed are my ambitions, St. Paul said. Now, he continued, I long to know Christ shown by His resurrection. Now I long to share Christ's sufferings, even to die as He did, so that I may perhaps attain, as He did, the resurrection from the dead. These thankful and Christ-centered words did not spew forth from the arrogant lips of the thankless and unconverted Saul of Damascus. Instead, they came from Saul, converted to St. Paul, a person struck down by God, a heart changed by God's grace, and an individual transformed by God's Spirit from the realm of dark thanklessness to the brilliant light of Christ-centered thanksgiving. Yes, let us indeed always rejoice when our stomachs are satisfied and when our refrigerators are filled. But let us never, never permit material things to become the barometer of our thankfulness. But rather, as the Bible points out, let us rejoice at all times, always giving thanks for all things. When we take credit for the blessings we receive, this exposes that our hearts are callous and thankless. When we use the ungodly expression, the self-made man, we reject God's role in the creation of the world and the preservation of our lives. In Colossians chapter 1 we read, By Him, by God, all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. Psalm 19 declares, The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Oh, we must humbly confess that at times we refuse to accept God's role in our lives. As a result, we become critical of others, cynical of events around us, short-tempered, inconsiderate of those we love around us and those where we work, egotistical, and many other sinful things. We think only of ourselves, and we reject God through selfish arrogance. As we struggle through our problems, frequently we fail to turn to the Lord with a thankful heart. This was also going on in the days of Amos the prophet. In the Bible, Amos chapter 4, God expresses His weariness with His wayward and thankless people. I quote, It was I, God said, who gave you hungry mouths in your cities and famine throughout the land. And yet, says the Lord, you have not returned to me. I stopped the rain from falling 3 months before the harvest. I sent rain on one city and withheld it from another. One field would get rain, while the rainless field would wither. Yet, says the Lord, you have not returned to me. I struck you with blight and mildew. I scorched your vineyards. I cut down your young men with a sword. Yet, says the Lord, you have not returned to me. God tried in many ways to get His people to return to Him, but they would not. God's wrath was kindled. He had permitted all types of problems and afflictions to come upon His people, yet they would neither acknowledge Him or give thanks to Him. Finally, when His patience would tolerate stubborn thanklessness no longer, God sent the prophet Amos to announce to the people, Prepare to meet thy God. It is indeed difficult in our generation to believe that God would punish thanklessness. But the pages of the Bible record numerous examples of God directing His holy wrath towards those who refuse to acknowledge Him. And our situation today is no different from that observed by the prophet Amos centuries ago. When we refer to our home, we often say, We bought it. When we regain our health, we credit medicine and modern science. In referring to financial blessings, we often say, We earned it. When we endure hardship, we credit our patience. When we succeed in school, we say, We did it all. And the list goes on and on and on and on. In all honesty, however, you and I deserve nothing whatsoever from God. He owes us absolutely nothing. In fact, through the utter blasphemy of this terrible sin of thanklessness, you and I deserve only God's wrath and punishment. In the face of God's inevitable judgment, the only thing we can do is despair. However, God in His mercy forgives, cleanses and saves all who do not reject His pleas of grace and His offers of mercy, those who truly repent. It was, the Bible points out, while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. It was while we were yet in our thankless state that Jesus lovingly died on the cross for you and me. Don't reject the promise of God through indifference or unbelief. Trust completely and entirely in God's mercy for your salvation. This unexplainable love and grace of God, the mercy by which God is willing to take us back, in spite of our failures, sins, and thanklessness, is powerfully portrayed in the cruel crucifixion of Jesus Christ. At the Savior's trial, the thankless crowds preferred to have a godless infidel set free rather than the innocent Savior. The callous soldiers slapped and hit and spit on Jesus. Yet from the cross, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As you and I in our thankless arrogance spurn God's love, may the Holy Spirit let the words of Jesus ring clearly in our ears. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And then let this coming week be for you and your family a time to observe all that God has done for you. Meditate on the biblical fact that Jesus was pierced through for your thanklessness. He was crushed for your arrogant ingratitude. And as the Savior suffered and died on the cross, He did not open His mouth. He did not complain. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Out of His love for you and me, God has caused the sins of our thanklessness, yours and mine, to be laid upon Jesus. And by His wounds, Isaiah the prophet reminds us, we are healed. The present generation is much like the people in Jesus' day. Not only are we frequently thankless, but even worse, in the midst of our blessings, we fail to rely on God's promise to provide for our every need, even in an emergency. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, records an interesting, surprising, but an extremely sad incident in the life of the disciples. Listen closely. Determine for yourself if you have ever acted like one of these thankless disciples. In a miraculous way, Jesus had just finished feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. So great was this miracle that the powerful lesson should have left an indelible impression in the minds and hearts of those following the Messiah. But it did not. Immediately after Jesus had fed the thousands, He took a boat and went to the other side of the lake. In verse 14 we read, "And the disciples had forgotten to take bread." And, the Bible points out, they did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. Of course, after seeing Jesus feed thousands, this should not have been a concern. However, in verse 16 we read, "And the disciples began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread." How foolish of them, and what an insult it must have been to Jesus, who had just performed a miracle of feeding. But is this not what we so often do also? Our Lord helps us through problems. Momentarily, we are happy. But only a short time later, we are worrying again, wondering how we will cope in life. No, just good intentions will not change our lives. Gritting one's teeth can never fill a self-centered heart with gratitude. It is only when the heart is emptied out, only when by the power of the Spirit, the sin of self-centered thanklessness is sincerely confessed, that Jesus can live in the heart by faith. When the Spirit-empowered event takes place, the old thankless self fades away. Behold, God then makes all things new. A Christ-centered and thankful heart may not occur completely overnight. It frequently takes time. And on this side of heaven, it will never be perfect. So don't delay. See what God in His love has so mercifully done for you and those you love. Count your blessings. See how God has used even bad situations in your life to bless you. Truly, as the Bible proclaims, we should be always giving thanks for all things. Amen.